You're listening to Clinical Conversations, a Journal Watch podcast. It's for the week ending November 27, and it's podcast number 67. I'm Joe Elia. Looking for a pulmonary embolism with CTA is likely to find other incidental findings that will complicate your clinical life. We'll discuss the implications of that. There'll be no news summary in this short week, and we're going to go right to the interview. You're listening to Clinical Conversations. Using chest computed tomographic angiography, or CTA, to investigate possible pulmonary embolism is quite common, but doesn't often confirm the suspicion, and what's worse, can often deliver up incidental findings that require clinical follow-up. This week's Archives of Internal Medicine carries a piece of research that beautifully illustrates the problem. In a single academic emergency room, some 600 patients underwent imaging, and this is what was found. 9% had pulmonary embolism, 33% had findings supporting alternative diagnoses, and 24%, almost a quarter, had incidental findings like a nodule or adenopathy. What are the implications of this harvest of incidental findings, most of which require more radiographic follow-up and thus more radiation exposure to the patient? We've invited Dr. Shannon Carson, the senior author of the paper, to talk it over. Dr. Carson is an associate professor of medicine at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where he is the director of the Pulmonary and Critical Care Training Program. We also have with us the paper's first author, Dr. William Hall, a fellow in pulmonary and critical care medicine there. Thank you both for agreeing to talk with us today.
Thanks for having me.
What did you set out to do, and were the results surprising? I'll ask you, Dr. Hall, because you're the first author.
So this is Dr. Hall answering. We set out to find what the incidence was of some of these incidental findings that we have been asked to consult on and see in our clinic. We had discussed this, I think, at length in the past, and it all thought that it was a problem, but we didn't know exactly how much of a problem it was. So we decided to look at it further and see exactly what is found when CT angiograms are ordered above and beyond the PE or not.
So you were looking at the shape and magnitude of the problem. You knew that there was a problem there, but no one had really defined it, at least locally, for you.
Right, and not to the extent that we set out to do. There was some data, but certainly not very much. And we looked to sort of broaden the scope of the other findings that are seen in the CT angiogram.
And Dr. Carson, as the senior author on the paper, were you surprised at the findings?
I was surprised a bit. We anticipated finding a number of cases where incidental nodules were found. We did not anticipate how significant of a problem this would be, because obviously a lot of these findings don't find their way to our clinic or consult service for follow-up, meaning the number of incidental nodules and adenopathy is much higher than we anticipated, and most likely a large portion of them aren't being followed up. Also, we were not surprised by the low rate of pulmonary emboli found on CT angiogram. That's been shown in a couple of other large hospitals in the United States and in other countries. But the fact that you're more than twice as likely to find an incidental nodule or large adenopathy than you were to find a PE, kind of, I guess we were surprised by the magnitude of the problem of incidental findings.
Is it accurate to say that the procedure, the CTA, is widely used?
It is widely used because since so many emergency departments now have CT scans either immediately adjacent to or within their department, it's an easy test to order when pulmonary embolus is on the differential or a patient's complaint. And in addition, there's been sort of a creeping tendency of physicians to depend on a CT scan rather than a chest X-ray because CT is more sensitive for various findings other than PE, such as infiltrates or pleural effusion. So I think physicians get a sense that, all right, here's a patient with complaints of acute shortness of breath. If I get a CT scan, I can rule out PE, but also find other explanations. When in fact, usually those other explanations can be found by good physical exam history, good quality chest X-ray, and some simple blood tests, and the patient can be spared the radiation, the contrast load, and now also the worry and anxiety and follow-up studies required when incidental nodules or, you know, significant adenopathy is found.
The portable X-rays, I think you point out in your paper, are of lesser quality than the ones that you can get if you bring the patient over to the X-ray department.
Right, and a portable chest X-ray, a patient's basically sitting, 45 degrees on a stretcher, and in that position, the patient can't take a deep inspiratory breath, which, you know, is a more revealing film when they're able to do that. And if you go to the radiology department, that's more likely to be done. So again, physicians are in a hurry. They can get the portable film quickly. It's often of lower quality. But even with that, if they just take the time to look at the film and interpret it in the context of the history and physical, often they will find the alternative explanation for the patient's symptoms that is not pulmonary embolus, and again could spare the patient the CT angiogram.
Dr. Hall, there was a sort of an arch comment in the editorial about your paper, saying that your advice for clinicians to familiarize themselves with the follow-up of pulmonary nodules missed the point. Did you have a reaction to that?
We've talked about that a little bit. Certainly, we devoted a fair amount of time in the paper to discussing the impacts and the incidence of the incidental nodules, and we agree that a big portion of our time needs to be spent on carefully considering which studies need to be ordered. But the reality will be that CT scans will be ordered to rule out pulmonary embolus, and with those will come a certain number of incidental nodules. So I think the fact that the matter is that the CT angiogram is here to stay for good or worse, we would rather people carefully consider which CT angiogram they order and maybe order fewer of them so that fewer of these pulmonary nodules are found. But there will be CT angiograms ordered, and with those will come pulmonary nodules. And so the reality is there will be nodules that we'll all have to, that we'll be encountered with, and we'll have to learn how to, what to do with that information when it is presented to us as clinicians.
Now, do you think, Dr. Shannon, that clinicians, Dr. Carson, I'm sorry, clinicians should be backing away from this technology somewhat, or as Dr. Hall just said, it's here to stay and people are going to use it for better or worse?
I think that physicians need to take a protocolized approach to working up the suspicion of PE, as the editorial outlines nicely, and as we had commented on as well, in discussion and actually in the conclusions of the paper, although the abstract wasn't long enough to include that line in the conclusion. So we need to take a systematic approach to working up a pulmonary embolus. But we're going to encounter a large number of patients who are at high risk and warrant a CT angiogram. And as Dr. Hall said, since that is the case, we're going to be encountering some incidental nodules. And when those are found, patients will be referred back to their primary care physician or to a pulmonologist with questions what to do. And there are good systematic approaches to that as well. And I think primary care physicians need to familiarize themselves with the guidelines for what to do, you know, judging the risk of the associated with the patient's history, the size, the character of the nodule, and what type of follow-up is would be recommended. You know, the bottom line is that few of these will be cancer. But, you know, some will. And once it's found and once the referral is made, you know, a workup needs to be done. And that workup should follow stated guidelines.
This is Dr. Hall again. So I completely agree with that. I think, not to be misunderstood, I believe that if clinicians are aware of the likelihood of them finding incidental findings and what that might mean for them as physicians, that might make them think, take ordering their CT angiogram very seriously, which is what we would all hope. I think that we would all like for people to realize when they order this scan, there's at least at our institution during the study time period, there was a certain incidence of pulmonary emboli and certain incidence of newly found incidental nodules, and that should be understood beforehand, that there could be some other things found when the CT angiogram is ordered, and maybe that'll allow people to thoughtfully consider which ones they should order.
That's good advice. I just wanted to ask you one final question, and that is, your paper appeared yesterday, and have your colleagues had any reactions?
This is Dr. Carson. I've heard from colleagues really across the country saying, yes, you're right, this is a problem. You know, these are other pulmonologists who, again, have been getting an increasing number of referrals. You know, it goes up every year to deal with these incidental nodules. And it's really bogging down pulmonary clinics to a degree, because you start to accumulate patients with these nodules that you are obligated to follow out. And they also have agreed that a lot of these CT scans, when you dig through the history, were of shaky indication that, you know, the chest x-ray showed a big infiltrate, the patient had a fever and a cough, that was pneumonia. You did not need a CT scan to show you that the patient had pneumonia, nor did you really need to consider PE in that case when an alternative diagnosis was clear and simpler tests. So just because a CT angiogram is easy to obtain and can provide a wide range of information, much of that information is available in simpler tests if one takes the time, and that the implications of this highly sensitive test go beyond immediate explanation for shortness of breath, and that the downstream implications are real. Patients carry with them a considerable amount of anxiety over a year or two while it gets sorted out whether this nodule is a problem or not. And then, you know, needless extra tests, needless extra interventions, and complications associated with them.
Well, Dr. Carson, Dr. Hall, I want to thank you again for your time with us today, and we look forward to more developments in this area.
Good. Thank you very much for your interest.
Yeah, thanks. Our pleasure.
You can reach us at 1-617-440-4374, or you can write to me, jelia@jwatch.org. All earlier podcasts are available at podcasts.jwatch.org, and links for all news stories are there as well. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adore Yano, and I'm Joe Elia. Join us next time. Thank you for listening.